welcome to the first edition of Damn Arts Majors. I'm Adam, and with me today we got Aaron. Say hello, Aaron.
Hi.
And we got Dudders.
Hello.
Are we doing full and last names?
People.
I'm Dudders. Dudders.
Dudders.
I'm
Dudders.
That's his legal name, I believe. Aaron.
There's nothing wrong with shameless.
That's an Aaron with an A.
Two A's.
By the way. Two A's.
Double A.
Double A.
A-A-Ron.
A-A-Ron.
A-A-Ron. And I am Adam. So yeah, this is first edition of Damn Art Majors. Aaron is a former illustration, well, painting and drawing and sculpture major. Dudders here is a former sculpture major.
Hoorah.
Hoorah. And I am a former animation interactive design major.
That doesn't even mean anything.
No, no, absolutely not.
Doesn't matter what we do now.
What's that?
So it doesn't matter what we do now.
Yeah, like, kind of. I mean, yeah.
Well, we all basically work within our respective fields of interest.
We kind of do. I mean, Dudders is a fabricator. Aaron makes prosthetics. And I'm a graphic designer. Hey, how about that?
Hey.
What?
What are you scribbling over there?
Dudders over there is jotting notes and drawings and whatnot. We'll post them on the site. Anyway, we were fortunate enough to have OakCityHustle.com host this delicious podcast. And, you know, if people like it out there, maybe we can keep the show going. If people don't like it, well...
Tough shit? I can say that, right?
You know what? Yes.
Tough shit.
There you go.
It will gradually first become one. More casual.
First one. Everybody take a drink. Got the first person. There we go.
Does it matter what we're drinking?
Shit, yeah, let's go around. I got a Newcastle Brown Ale because it's the last one in my fridge. Not very creative, but hey, it's British. It's an import.
My non-hipster domestic beer of choice is Coors Banquet.
And I'm the fancy one here. I'm drinking a Foothills, got Winston-Salem, People's Porter, bourbon, barrel-aged People's Porter, small batch, freaking awesome beer.
It's a nice graphic of Fidel Castro raising his fist in the air.
Oh, hell yeah.
He's got a beer, never mind.
I didn't know Castro lived in Winston-Salem.
Well, I'm just saying it looks like him.
Oh. So he doesn't.
It looks like a commie... Yeah. Is there a huge figure with a beard? And
is there
glasses,
a huge communist
a beer.
Following in?
Well, actually,
Salem?
It's Foothills Brewery following because he's got the Foothills symbol and the flags behind him. It's quite lovely, actually.
It's very political. Strange from Winston-Salem.
Yeah,
the land of imagine. Tobacco and I guess art. I mean, you know, they claim to have some arts there.
I have a feeling things are going to loosen up.
They're going to loosen up. This is our first one. So, I mean, people can forget the fact that we're a little
It's kind of like prom night. It's a little tight. It's a little tight. You but know, don't worry.
My suit doesn't really fit.
It's going to be hot. It's going to be sweaty. You're going to think we're not going to know what we're doing. But like many first times, it's going to be really short. And we're probably just going to have a good cry afterwards.
And no one owns their clothing.
Yeah. No one owns it. It's all rented.
It's okay. I got the insurance online.
Instagram, an app, has pretty much put like a good majority of our artistic photographers that we, you know and love and went to school with pretty much out of the job. How do we feel about that?
I could give two shits because I don't take pictures.
I'm just saying, unless you're able to really use Instagram to your work.
No one actually prints anything out. So really, it is all, let me just get it out there. Let me just share it as quickly as I fucking possibly can.
I think the introduction of Instagram, it basically destroyed photography. It was strange, the timing, though. When Instagram came about, Kodak was already out of the door.
Aaron is a walking encyclopedia of
useless. Out of the door, meaning out of the door and into the grave. Since then, it's turned everybody into a photographer. Basically, when you
a
look
food.
At... Yeah, of food.
Shitload of
yeah,
food.
What is with that? It's like, and it's not even, it's always like, not even food that they made. It'll be like food that they just bought.
I'm gonna start Instagramming my fucking McDonald's because I think that would actually
might as well
be
at this rate.
That would be more avant-garde than going and Instagramming the corner deli that uses rare Hungarian baby lambs that are basted in Worcestershire sauce made from the tears of dying
salmon.
I'm
more impressed. I'm more impressed when people Instagram food at least they made.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more like saying I made a wise decision and bought something off a friggin' menu. Who cares? Who cares?
I mean, I'll be honest. The only reason I don't have Instagram because I'm inept at the internet entirely. But the only reason I would probably ever get Instagram is so I can see all the stuff that my fellow sculptors are making and in the process of making, so I can make it better and just like undercut them as an asshole. Just get in there first, because that's what it's all about. Spying.
Being bigger and cheaper.
Just being better, man. Just being better. Like this guy next to me. Just see what he's doing and just make it better.
Just so you know, the podcast is a non-visual medium. So when you say this guy next to you.
Aaron.
He's talking about Aaron, me. Yeah.
Not.
Well, technically, you're both next to
me. Well,
in fairness, three of us, so we're
making
any
fucking sculpture I make is going to look like a hot mess anyway. So,
yeah, you tried to give me one for free and I didn't take it.
That was a gift.
That's not a gift. It's a doorstop.
It was a perfectly fine doorstop, it was.
It was made of soapstone,
and I even did a finishing technique.
Oh, I'm not even talking
texture,
about the soapstone.
And there was line, and there was form, and there was shape, and there was every fucking element.
Well, technically everything has line, element. Form, and shape if it takes up, you know, three-dimensional space.
You forgot weight.
Yeah,
it was heavy.
It was like 40 pounds heavy.
Yeah, it was heavy.
It's because he got the stone and he like knocked the corner off and he got done.
No, he did a pretty generous amount of work.
Really? Like, that's what we're going to go with. That's what we're going to fucking talk about is this stupid soapstone.
I think you drilled a hole in it. You put a dick hole in it, didn't you? You just drilled a hole right through it, didn't you? It was a swirl. It was like a wave or something.
There was a wave, and the idea was maybe if it rained on it, like the water would go down it. That did not happen.
Actually, I think I did take it, and I think I sold it.
Mm.
Did you make money off my work?
I sold it to Hana.
You sold the soapstone to Hana?
I bought it from Hana.
What did he pay you for it?
Not a lot.
Oh, the cheap. I can't say that. Hana's a wonderful man.
So Hana was the source in which the soapstone came. So I guess once it was gifted to Dutters, he then in turn just sold it back to the source. Probably for less money than in which I bought it from.
I would imagine he had like a personal stash or something that this came from.
Really, I probably bought it off Hana for like $25. Dutters sold it to Hana for $15. Like, and that's with like I don't that's know like 25 yeah. hours worth of work put into that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So really, I should have sold it for like 35.
Yeah, you got screwed, dude.
I did.
Yeah.
Shit. Anyway, Hana just broke it into gravel and he uses it on his driveway. He's probably incorporated it into a piece that he sold for $10 million and won 15 shows with.
Yeah, at least $20,000.
It's so Banksy.
It's called recycling.
That's called the world of art.
So, we were talking about Instagram and its effect on the photography world.
Right.
I think it's... I was going to mention earlier, but then we went on a total tangent. I think it's really interesting that it's become such a important thing to do to document your everyday, the most menial tasks that you do, the littlest accomplishments.
With that system.
Well, the thing is it turns it into an immediately immaterial thing. And like, do you lose the experience after that? Like, what if you went throughout your entire life without ever using Instagram and like physically documented all these things? Would it be different?
If you wrote it down?
If you had, okay, take what Instagram imitates, which is a Polaroid, mm-hmm. Instamatic camera or something. Maybe Instamatic is Kodak brand, whatever. Say you took a physical photograph of this and it was well-composed, well-lit, and you saved it, and then you promoted it somehow. Would that be different?
Shit. I'm not gonna lie. Like the wheels in my brain literally just came to a screeching halt. I think some sand just fell.
Okay.
I was doodling. What?
Anyway, My question is, what happens to the experience in that respect? Like, say,
they ignore the experience because they're spending too much time framing the stupid picture with their phone.
Mm-hmm. And then they focus on the amount of likes that it gets.
Yeah, like, if I actually, like, I don't have Instagram at all, so I never have to stop and focus on my phone and framing a picture and getting the light just right and then adding a bunch of filters and then making sure my friends are liking my picture. So I just focus on what I'm doing at that particular moment and go on with my life. And the other thing, who's going to, like, if I'm eventually, let's say I decide to procreate and I make children and these children come along and they get on, like, the computer, why the fuck are my kids going to care what the hell I ate? They're like, Dad, I'm impressed. You ate food.
Mm-hmm. That was a hell of a taco salad. That was good. What did it taste like? Do you remember? I know this picture is 35 years old, but you got to remember that taco salad.
God, I don't know. I don't really see the point.
I don't know. I find Instagram being a form of entertainment in the sense that if you go on my Instagram, you'll pretty much just find silly things I find along the way, or something silly I made. Like, one of my favorite posts was I have a cookie cutter Millennium Falcon. And I went ahead and put that in a pan, and I used cracked eggs in it. I made, like, eggs that looked like a Millennium Falcon, and I had a whole Star Wars-themed breakfast.
Were those the cookie cutters that I gave you?
Shit. Yes. No. What? You sold my sculpture to Hana.
They came in the lunchbox?
Yes.
They came in the lunchbox we gave from William Sonoma?
Yeah, they were from...
Anyway. From William Sonoma?
William Sonoma is not cheap.
You know what?
Amazing.
William Sonoma has not paid for an ad, so they're okay.
They could.
You can buy
shit. They could.
They could.
They could.
Until then, you shop.
There was this brand of lunchbox that happened to have Star Wars.
By the way, Lucas hasn't paid for an ad either, or Disney at this rate.
This space I don't think Disney's going Odyssey, to. It wasn't really an Odyssey. The space themed.
Fantasy?
No, what's that
opera?
Genre where kid journey of growth, journey of initiation.
Monomyth?
Coming of age,
sure.
Space coming of age story where a young farm boy discovers his... this is a fucking ridiculous way of just saying that, yeah, you were using something that I gave you.
Now, I want to know, like, how many listeners want to, like, rehash Star Wars and how many listeners want to know what I post on my friggin' Instagram? Because I'm going to say not many really care about what I post on my Instagram, which is fine.
I care. I mean, I don't have an Instagram account, so I'll never actually be able to see it unless I don't even know how the Instagram works. You take a picture, you upload it.
No, I mean, anyone can look find at your it? Friends. No. That's kind of what I dig about it, is that it's a smaller circle of friends than, say, your Facebook.
So I get to pick who gets to see how much more interesting my life is.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you can make a private account.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. All right.
Then you're limited to a certain number of followers, which is important if you want to show off your dinner.
Speaking of wacky social medias, as you guys may or may not know, I host a comic book blog on Oak City called No Big Two Comic Review.
It's an amazing blog. You should really take some time out of your day and read it.
Dude, it's at least 10 minutes. One a week. What do you got to do? Just read it or not. I don't care.
I read it at work.
I hope during my lunch break.
Read it.
Do you?
Yeah.
I've gotten some pretty good some follow. Well, I wouldn't say followers, but I definitely got some people coming up to me.
No, like I during my lunch break, I'll click onto my Facebook and I'll check my news feed.
Yeah, it's like once a week.
And you're one of the few people I haven't blocked from my news feed because you very rarely post anything political or religious.
I really don't post anything like
you're
personal.
Still alive.
It's always like promoting Oak City or my dad's stuff or whatever.
So you're pretty much always top right up there. So anytime you post anything on your blog, man, click that and I skim through it.
So with Oak City, I created a Twitter account. And it was my first experience with Twitter at NB2CR. And let me tell you, It's a great way to celebrity stalk. Other than that, I'm not really seeing the point of Twitter, and it could be because I have a whopping like 12 followers, and two of which, well, one of them's you, Aaron. Mm-hmm. So
Twitter is pretty much the word version of Instagram.
And maybe it's that I missed the bubble. Like, I feel like Twitter is like, unless you're a celebrity or you're in high school, you got to get people to go to your Twitter. But I feel like our age group just kind of missed it because we were too busy pioneering Facebook and saying goodbye to MySpace that, like, Twitter happened and we just went, we don't care. We're trying to do this one over
don't
here.
Don't bands use MySpace still?
I think so.
It's like a local band thing now.
Those poor bastards.
Hey, man, my band's going to be huge one day.
So I think Twitter has a very certain appeal that a lot of people realized early on and are still, they still enjoy it. I find it slightly charismatic. The fact that you can issue an idea, it's limited. You have to get it out in a certain number of characters. And
there's art in the limitation.
Yeah, I mean, you can link to other things. It's very passive in some instances. Like you can say something very derogatory and in the next tweet say something happy-go-lucky. You can promote other people. You can promote yourself. It's a great outlet for self-promotion.
I'm going to have you be my PR guy.
But it's weird.
You put
it's
a positive spin on like everything.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I'm a Twitter user. I mean, I'm not prolific on Twitter at all. I have probably 100 or so followers, if that.
Maybe. After this podcast, maybe you're blowing up.
Oh, great.
You're blowing up.
Oh, can't wait for my direct message inbox.
Aaron _ no last name given at Twitter.com.
You know, I can't even remember what my Twitter username is. I think it's Aaron _ early. Yeah. Maybe, yeah. But it's interesting. I mean, people do great things with Twitter. There's certain Twitter users that they do a wonderful job with it. Like,
well, look at what happened with the uprising that happened. What was it, 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
The entire everything that happened with the Arab Spring and all that was a Twitter-based event.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys. I just usually check up to see what Bieber's up to. You hear he's going by the Beeb now? That's going to
be. He's opening a tattoo parlor.
He can't go by the Beeb. That's copyrighted.
What? The Beeb is copyrighted?
Yeah, BBC.
Oh, do they use that? Because that'd be fantastic.
Well, they're commonly referred to as the Beeb.
Are they?
Yeah.
By who? The Brits?
Well, yeah.
Huh.
I mean, it's their thing. There's BBC America now. But
yeah,
it's
but
not
what would you call that? The Beeb?
Beeb.
Beeb. So, whether or not you're starting a political revolution or you're celebrity stalking, Twitter is where it's at.
Yeah, what I was getting at is Twitter is very useful for certain people. If you're really into quick self-promotion or like the circuitous promotion of other people, it's a great format to do it in. It's great for poets. It's great for, you know, people that like to bring attention to themselves.
Seriously, I'm going to get you to like start writing shit for me.
The other thing is comedians.
I see a lot of comedians, and that's like where they're getting their start, because a lot of comedians have like a bunch of cheeky one-liners and things of that nature.
Yeah, they kill it on Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people that I never would have heard of if it wasn't for Twitter, and yet their field is the internet. Like, their audience is primarily online.
I recently had a conversation with someone about, I guess they read some article, but they said people who have the most updates on their Facebook and social media outlets, they're actually statistically more vain. Mm-hmm. And more egotistical, egocentric. They feel like people want to know what's going on in their life, and they don't really get that sometimes you don't really care.
Yeah.
So, just throwing that out. Anybody got a counterpoint to that?
It's a strange thing. I agree with you. I've heard of that.
Aaron has a counterpoint.
Thanks. what are you trying to say?
Oh, nothing. You're right. You're right all the time. Please
tell
me more.
I think I I think part of the problem, one of the reasons I can't really contribute a whole lot to this is I'm not active. I have a Facebook that I've had since I was a senior in high school, and I probably post something on Facebook, what, once every 4 months? If that, yeah. I don't have a Twitter. I don't have an Instagram.
Dutters just discovered fire last month, and that was a really exciting moment for you.
No, I've known about fire. It was electricity that was the big thing. Electricity. He
immediately
was,
burned himself.
But no, I think maybe one of the reasons I just don't really care that much is because I've always found more value in a face-to-face conversation with somebody, or even just the value of hearing someone's voice. Like, I actually listen to the radio, and when I say listen, I listen to talk radio.
Talk radio, like what we're doing right
like
now.
What's happening right now? Which is probably one of the only reasons. Okay.
That you agreed to do this?
Probably, yeah, probably.
Because I didn't know what a podcast was.
I really did.
We had to say Howard Stern, and he went, oh.
Yeah. I know radio.
Radio.
You talking about NPR?
Yeah, I'm talking about NPR. Good old Audie Cornish.
Yep, Phoebe Judge.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Terry Carey.
Diane Reen.
Diane Reen.
I don't listen to NPR.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
I like look for it. I can't find it.
Like, it's from what I understand, it's 91.5 here.
Is it
91.5?
I listen to it online all the time. They have a free streaming version. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You can listen to their podcasts.
Podcasts.
Yeah,
they're in the web, man.
They're on the web.
They're on the web. You know what else is on the web? Spiders. So Aaron's got some spider facts.
That's a nice segue.
That's a terrible segue. You would have been better if there's a new Spider-Man movie coming out. Speaking of spiders,
Spider-Man didn't pay for an ad here, Dutters.
You know there's this new web-slinging movie coming out. That's not copyrighted. Is that copyrighted by that?
I don't know. I didn't copyright it.
You sure you want to talk about spider facts right
now? No! I really don't.
To set this up, you know, to really kind of prepare ourselves, we decided to kind of have segments and do our little research and have little engaging things to talk to the listeners about. So Aaron yesterday was like, I can come up with some spider facts.
They're not invented. They're actually
But I was like, are you gonna call it like Aaron's Oddities and have like all sorts of weird things? So you're like, no, just spiders.
Just spider facts.
So I believe the good listeners, you know, want to know some spider facts. So
all three of those listeners,
which, believe it or not, are parents. And only
one. Oh, no, I wasn't even going. I was going with, like, our significant others.
No, they're not going to listen to this
show. Oh, hell no.
They fucking listen to us, like, every day. They're not going to listen to this.
They're actually in the other room right now.
They can hear this right now.
And the best part is that they're mumbling to themselves.
Oh, God.
And they're
are they really
going
to do spider facts? Are they really going to do spider facts? I want to learn more about spiders. Let's go to Aaron Early about some spiders.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Tell us what the spider news is.
All right, so I chose...
Oh, my God, you have them written down.
Yeah, I do. I have three specific facts, mainly about jumping spiders.
Jumping spiders, that's the topic there.
Yeah, jumping spiders are the little fuzzy guys you can find out in your yard. They, of course, are known for jumping.
Like wolf spiders?
Yeah. There's some really interesting characteristics about them, though. They set themselves apart from spiders mainly due to some really unknown, like, unpopular facts. You can hear the ladies in the other room giggling incessantly.
Hey, we're trying to do some spider facts in here. Can we keep it down?
They always give me shit because I really like bugs. So the first thing about jumping spiders that's not a common knowledge thing is that they have compound eyes.
What does that mean?
Compound eyes is when you have a compounding of eyes. You know, typically it's said that spiders have eight eyes. Well,
I know they have eight legs.
They have eight legs. They have eight eyes. Jumping spiders actually have six.
I have two eyes and two legs.
They have
correlation. You think?
They have two large eyes directly front and center of their face. That gives them. It enables them to have binocular vision because they're predators. They're ambush predators. I guess it can be said that all spiders are. ambush predators. Some of them are actually like stalking. But the compound eyes that they have enables them to see in certain wavelengths of light. They can actually perceive some colors, unlike other spiders. But what's cool is if you look at a close-up photograph of one of them, they have two large eyes front and center, then they have four small ones, and they use the two large ones primarily, whereas other spiders don't.
What the hell do you do in your spare time?
I read about spiders. but the cool thing about their vision capabilities is they use it for mating, which is strange. Like, they have the ability to harness like sunlight in their pedipalps, which are the little fuzzy non-legs that they have in the front of them that you see. If you watch a video of them, they're constantly moving these things around like some sort of dance Macarena maneuver.
So they have compound eyes, mm-hmm. and they dance to attract their mates, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they do. But they store certain wavelengths of ultraviolet light in these pedipalps. And if you were to look at it under a specific type of lens or something that would show you the ultraviolet spectrum of that, what you would see is these giant purple pedipalps that are like super bright. Anyway, it's really neat. So on to the next fact.
That was one?
That was a mixture of one and two.
Okay.
Actually, that was one. Sorry.
Oh, God.
So the next thing.
Please tell us more.
The next thing is the fact that they're actually omnivores.
They eat plants.
They don't necessarily eat plants, but.
what you're seeing now, well, what you can't see right now, is a doodle of me being attacked by a giant spider. Probably scroll down. We're going to post that. We're going to post everything we're doodling on.
Yeah, you didn't mention that we're actually drawing while we're...
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the surprise, I guess, is as you listen to us gab about nothing, you can check out what we're doodling to correspond with the podcast. But enough of that. More about fucking spiders!
Spiders!
Oh my God!
Okay, so like I said, they're primarily omnivores. They do... they are predators. They eat other insects. But they also eat pollen, which is weird. Like, it's almost... I read once that in some instances, it's like 80% of their diet, which may be...
It's pollen?
Yeah, maybe...
Like bees?
Yeah, like bees, but they don't harvest it in the same way they actually eat it. Put it in your coffee.
Straight up plant protein.
I took a picture of the pollen that I was eating and posted it to my Instagram.
Yeah?
It was fantastic. Yeah.
I took a razor blade and raked up a line of it and just snorted the shit out of it.
You did?
Yeah.
That's a better story. Why don't we fuck this spider? Tell that story.
We'll tell that one at a later segment.
We'll come back to that one.
The next and last spider fact is that they have an innate...
Not the last one. Damn.
They have an innate curiosity about them that's really funny. They're also completely non-threatening. They are poisonous, but only on like a small scale. If you're a small invertebrate, you have everything to fear from them. If you're us, you have nothing. Most of them are completely incapable of biting you, and if they do, they're not going to do anything other than like make you itchy in that area for a little while. You can handle them if you approach them in a non-threatening manner with candy. You know, however you want to do it.
Hey, spider.
Yeah. Hey.
You want a new bike? Come into my van, spider.
Look at those muscly arms.
I see those
pedicles.
Get your fat ass.
We can't even go the first episode without a freaking Family Guy callback, can we?
Oh, God.
That's sad.
Can we edit that out? We're just going to cut that. Joe, cut that.
Who's Joe? Joe's the guy who cuts shit.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for cutting that.
Thanks, Joe. Hey, Joe. And now what happens after I stop talking is what you need to cut back into. So, now.
Oh, more spider facts. And we're back with spider facts.
So, I was saying curiosity is one of their interesting traits. To cite a specific instance, there was one day I was... On my laptop, I had the computer next to the window, had the window open. It was a nice warm summer day, and I'm filling around, whatever. And suddenly there's a spider on my screen. And
he says, put the dick down.
Says I disapprove of whatever you're looking at. A spider jumped on my screen, and it was a jumping spider, and it immediately started attacking my cursor. Like, wherever I moved the cursor to on the screen, it was all over it, like, sinking its fangs into my computer.
It thought the arrow was an insect in which it would feast upon?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, and so I was totally distracted from whatever the hell I was doing.
You can't eat that, man. You can't eat that.
You can't put that whole thing in your mouth.
No, man.
It's digital.
No, it's spider. That's what I did. I'd fucking make fun of that spider.
But anywho, they have this innate curiosity, and should you encounter one, there's something you can do where you slowly, like, place your finger on whatever surface that it's sitting on, and you can actually play a sort of game with it, for lack of a better description. But they will go on guard and, like, go back and forth in response to the proximity of your finger. They won't attack it. They might run up and, like, bat at it like a cat almost. But they won't bite you or anything. They'll probably try to run away before they would ever bite you. But it's really entertaining. You can
fucking with spiders.
You can try it out in your local
Spider Facts.
Look, we are.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Sir Attenborough. That was quite informative.
All of this shit.
So if you want to hear Spider Facts coming back week after week, please shout us out in the comments below.
Actually, no. If you don't want to hear it come back, don't do anything. No Twitter, no Instagram.
Spider Facts is going to be the number one thing.
It is.
People are going to love that.
I really hope it's not, because I'm totally not an entomologist. I was an art major.
No, that's literally the name of the show. Like, clearly, anything outside of the realm. No, we can't really speak on art. So,
haven't spoken on art yet.
Hardly.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it, what, once?
We mentioned that we're all artists, and then we started talking about other bullshit.
Yeah, right.
Well, as an artist, I've become profoundly good at drinking alcohol,
right,
and getting severely deep into debt.
Yeah, I heard you had some issues today with said debt.
Oh my freaking god!
Yeah. With not only that, not only debt, but debt to a university you didn't even go to.
I didn't even freaking attend.
You didn't even go to this school.
Oh my, all right. So, as a backup, I applied to UNC Charlotte. As a backup!
He did not go to UNC Charlotte.
And just in case, my dad, being the cautious person that he is, he paid a deposit to reserve a room for me. I got accepted to ECU. I decided to go there. They had a pretty solid art program. So we get a bill a couple months later saying that I owe UNC Charlotte $500-something for my first semester's dorm room. I sent them an email telling them I'm going to East Carolina. I'm not going to UNC Charlotte.
Was this 8 years ago?
Indeed 8 years ago. This was the summer of 2006. Fast forward a little bit. We get this bill, we ignore it, you know, whatever. Fast forward. Today, I open my mail, and I have this letter from the North Carolina tax people, and it tells me...
What does it tell you?
That they have taken my North Carolina tax refund, income tax refund, and they have given it to UNC Charlotte to cover the cost of a fucking dorm room. I didn't even stay in. So, I got two options. I mean, they gave me a bunch of numbers I can call, and I'm probably going to call them on Monday. I'm probably going to give them a little bit of what I'm thinking about. But at the same time, in the event that next year rolls around and they finally do end up collecting this full $500, I really think I'm going to, like, just find a homeless person in Charlotte and tell them to go move into a dorm as a proxy for me. Because if I'm fucking paying for the goddamn room, I'm going to fucking stay there! Or I'm going to pay someone to get someone else to stay there! Yes, I will put a homeless guy up in a dorm room!
That's a friggin' Fox sitcom for you. Homeless guy who gets rented out a dorm room. And has to live with all the first-year freshmen who are just trying to, like, smoke some weed in their dorm room. And
he's a crackhead.
Dude, that's a...
And he introduces them to crack.
That is a fucking...
And then prostitution, so they can make money to buy more crack.
But it's okay, because every transition between scenes is, like, an impromptu baseline.
The fact that I have not received any, I never received any prior notification by mail or anything saying, we are going to deduct said debt from your tax return. Also, the fact that I never actually stayed in the place, I never even went there. I went for a tour.
That was a $500 tour, dude.
That's a fucking $500
tour.
Did I get a t-shirt?
You didn't even have that bad of a problem with the fucking
t-shirt.
Either.
You didn't get a shirt. I didn't even get a shirt.
Oh, we just blew out some levels.
Did you get to swim in the grotto?
They have a fucking grotto?
Yeah, yeah. They do now.
After, yeah. You're fucking paying for the... No, I'm probably just paying for carpet cleaning. That's so, what I'm paying for.
So you never had a collector come after you for that?
No.
And this bill, quote-unquote bill, has been outstanding for... 8 years.
Apparently it's been outstanding for 8 years when I applied to UNC Charlotte.
Are you, is this your first year as a non-dependent? Like tax?
Yep. So that would probably be what it is.
That's probably why they consider you an adult.
Which is funny.
Going after your shirt and curlies.
What I think is actually kind of interesting about this is that the original check, because my father did write a check to hold a room for me, all of that was in his name. And all that paperwork is filled out in his name.
Mm-hmm.
But they're using my apparent student application, I guess, to come after me.
Sons of bitches!
And that's the end of the first edition of Damn Art Majors.
Shit, we didn't even talk about art.
Maybe next week. We make art!
We make art. Kind of. All right.
Turn the fucking light off.
And we're done.